T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Minor lasted 4 innings, gave up 7 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned, 2 home runs, struck out 2, walked 2.
Yeah, I want to say.
I want to say Ken Rosenthal is on the line
that
with
us. Facing Matt Clement.
Our Fox Sports Baseball insider joins us an hour earlier thanks to the Red Sox rescheduling, and we appreciate his ability to move with us here as well. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Good, guys. How's it going?
Oh, Kenny, going very well.
A little wet around these parts last night. Would have been a little tough to play baseball here, I think.
Yeah, I was at Shea last night, and they had a 3-hour and 7-minute rain delay, I believe it was.
Oh, that's always fun, isn't it?
Game started at about 10, yeah.
You're at Shea last night, and we might as well start with that. Are you working on a big story on the Mets or on the Mets-Braves series? What are you working on there?
Well, it's Mets-Yankees this weekend, and we have the game Saturday. And actually what I've got going is a Q&A with Billy Wagner, who is kind of the National League's version of Schilling as far as talking. Not quite as offensive to people, usually. And that's going to be pretty interesting. That should be on the website tomorrow. He said some pretty interesting things about steroids, about Bonds, not ripping Bonds, more just competing against him, and what it's like to be a guy who talks a lot and gets criticized for it, as, of course, Schilling is familiar with.
Well, you got to tease us a little more than that when you said he said some interesting things about steroids. What? Give us a glimpse.
Well, what he said, Michael, was that I said, all right, how is this era going to be remembered? How are you guys going to be remembered? And he said, we're going to be remembered as the guys who played in the steroid era. And it's going to mar all of our accomplishments, and that's how it's going to be, and it's a shame. And I asked him about, he said, I never cheated. I'm a smaller guy. And people always say, well, how can you throw 100 without cheating? And I said, well, didn't it bother you that some of the guys you were competing against were cheating, both hitters and pitchers? And he said, yes. He said, on one hand, it was a compliment when hitters would have to cheat to be as good as me or to stay with me. He took it that way. But with pitchers, he was offended when guys were getting better stats than him in his comparable role. And I said, were there guys like that? He said, absolutely there were. So overall, he's just an interesting guy to talk to, much like Schilling is. And he got going on a lot of different topics.
You know, we've done a lot of talking and thinking about what the reaction is going to be when Bonds passes Henry Aaron, and particularly if it were to happen here at Fenway Park. Sammy Sosa is 3 home runs away from 600 in his career, a milestone that would normally be considered monumental and looked at by Major League Baseball. Will there be any reaction by MLB when that happens?
I would think there'd be the obligatory congratulatory ad. But beyond that, I don't know that there'll be much more. And that is a product of the times. What's interesting to me about Sammy is that he has probably been the Rangers' best hitter in many regards. And I wrote this the other day. He could be the guy they trade in July. So he has had a resurgence. His comeback has gone well. But you're right. There's not going to be much hullabaloo about his 600th home run.
Well, how is he going to be seen in the game? I know it's hard to think ahead,
sure,
5 years or 6 years, but when he comes up, is he going to receive the McGuire treatment? Because overall, his numbers, I believe, are better than Mark McGuire's.
I think he gets the McGuire treatment, yes. And while there's not anything to suggest that he ever used performance enhancers, much like there's really nothing to suggest that McGuire used them other than his performance for Congress, people have their own thoughts and beliefs, and I think it is going to be difficult for him. Yeah, I just don't see any way around it.
Did you get a chance when you were at Shea last night, Ken, to talk to Omar Minaya about Lasting's millage and his rap career?
Well, not personally. He did address that, Omar Minaya did, with the New York media. And basically their position is, we don't condone this. We look down on it, and we're disappointed. But I don't think they're going to discipline him. What's interesting is that this, I'm sure, was taped before the IMF situation flared up, and had it occurred before that, I think it would have been received differently. It would have been received as, well, is a guy doing a rap song? That's what rap songs are. But I think the IMUS controversy has changed the perspective of that type of language, and probably for the better, in my opinion. I don't know that that language is ever suitable. I know people can say, well, that's part of the culture. That doesn't mean it's right. There's parts of all kinds of cultures that aren't necessarily the way it should be.
Well, this is a kid, and I use that term advisedly. He's a young player who didn't make a great first impression last year when he came up to the major leagues, showed up late, didn't necessarily have the kind of attitude you'd want from a rookie player. Jay Greenberg, writing in today's New York Post, says maybe it's time to get rid of this guy. They're not thinking that, are they?
They might be, because certainly he is a guy who's getting squeezed for playing time from both above and below. They have two younger outfielders, one of them on the team right now, Carlos Gomez, who are really regarded as outstanding prospects. And, of course, in the major leagues, they've got Sean Green and Beltran and Andy Chavez and Moses Alou. So there's no obvious spot for Millage right now. There are teams that like him. And he could ultimately wind up as a piece in a July 31st trade. That was true even before this occurred. So I'm hesitant to condemn a 22-year-old kid. But at the same time, there is a pattern here. I don't know that he would be necessarily the right fit for New York. I think he can be a successful major leaguer. And what's getting lost here is the Mets believe he made great strides this spring, both as a player and as a person. He certainly seemed more mature. I spoke with him, as did a number of reporters. But this kind of thing is the kind of thing that sets him back, and he's got to have better judgment.
Well, I'll say this. If he were hitting 330, I think Omar and I might have a different perspective on this.
Of course, Mike. You know how that goes. And that's true of any player in any city. People say, oh, how can San Franciscans bow down before Bonds? If he was in Boston, guess what? Bostonians would bow down before Bonds. That's the way it is in our sporting culture, and for better or worse, that's the way it's going to be.
I want to ask you about the team that I've been telling Fox to pay attention to, and you keep saying, you got to show it to me. We got my Milwaukee Brewers in a four-game slide here. What's going on with my Brewers?
Show it to me. Now, seriously, they had an easier schedule before this stretch. They went 24-10. By building a home record of 16-5 and playing teams like the Pirates and Nationals, et cetera, some of the NL Central clubs. Now this is a much more difficult stretch. They had the three in New York. They lost two of those. They have lost, I believe, two or three straight in Philly going into today's finale. And it's better competition. They're on the road. I still think they're a very good team. I think they're going to be in until the end, and Fox is going to add some of their games, as far as I know.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Yeah,
no, you know, you got Mets Yankees this weekend. All the Yankees again.
I think they are adding them, actually. And don't start with that, man. Boston gets on as much as anybody.
No, the Yankees.
Yeah, too much.
The
Yankees, Boston is on too much.
No way. The Yankees. How many weekends have the Yankees been on? Every weekend but one.
So far, I don't even know.
Oh, I can tell.
I've seen a lot of Derek Jeter and A-Rod.
We can look it up before you get off the air now.
Hey, Joe Torre, we were a bit surprised. He brought in Mariano Rivera in the eighth inning when he said he wouldn't do that. He used Andy Pettitte in two relief appearances in the month of April. We were surprised about that. He says he's going to see how Chin Ming Wong feels after last night's win to decide whether he's going to bring him back on short rest and pitch again on Sunday. Is their pitching that thin?
Yes. You guys know that. But to me, it's a really difficult spot because if it's not Wong, they've got to bring up a guy like Chase Wright. And the last time Chase Wright pitched in a Sunday night ESPN game against a prominent opponent, I think we all remember what happened.
Yeah, we called Chase back-to-back-to-back-to-back, yeah.
Right. They could also go to a guy like Tyler Cliff, but there are ways to do it. But it is a high-profile game. And it's funny, the White Sox have the same situation Sunday, and they're thinking about bringing Contreras back on short rest to face the Cubs because they are reluctant to bring up a kid to pitch in that kind of situation. City Series games, Chicago, New York, L.A., San Francisco, they are very passionate, very heated. And it's a different kind of environment, not the kind of environment you want to put a youngster into.
Ken, I saw the story about Roger Clemens possibly being ready on May 28th. If that's the case, do you expect to see him pitching inside Fenway Park on either June 2nd or June 3rd?
Certainly possible, and I believe one of those is a Fox game, Michael. But the thing about Clemens to me, I am a little, not the word is concerned. I think he's flying too close to the sun here, okay? I think He's pushing it. He's going to go 4 months this year where he went 3 months last year. Last year he had the WBC, and then he could pipe down a little bit, then come back. He doesn't have that this year. And it almost seems like they're asking too much too soon. He's asking too much of himself too soon. And I'm just wondering if this is a blown hammy waiting to happen.
You know, I I'm with you on this one, both in terms of the amount of pitching that they're going to ask him to do, and I get the feeling that they're probably rushing his preparation and trying to get him out there as quickly as they can. And by the way, I think he's rushing it as well.
He's right. He's part of that.
And I'm with you on this, Ken. I see issues in terms of just being ready to throw.
Dale, he's going to the American League now. It's going to be more taxing on him. 1-9, it's much different than pitching in the National League. And he was really a master at working around lineups, pitching to who he wanted to pitch. You can get away with that in the National League. Much less so in the AL. Tacking on an extra month. You're doing this at age 44, soon to be 45. Again, if there's anyone who can pull this off, it is Roger Clemens, and I understand that, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him. But at the same time, I think they're really pushing it here, both sides, the Yankees and Clemens, if they indeed follow the schedule.
You know, Kenny, I just want to apologize to you right now. I'm just looking at the Fox Saturday game of the week schedule. And to begin the season, I'm shocked, you had the Mets at Atlanta, you had Minnesota at the White Sox, and you had the Dodgers at the Giants. You didn't get to Boston until April 14th, the second weekend of the season. So,
and then we had Boston, New York, Boston, New York,
yeah, you got
Boston, L.A.
But you're mixing it up, though. I do want to apologize to you. I do want to ask you this, because I know where Dale stands on the interleague issue. He doesn't think it's a good idea. He's tired of it. I like it. I think it's a good perk for Major League Baseball. Where do you stand on interleague?
I have troubles with the scheduling inequities that are created. And I think Chipper Jones's point was a fair point, that the Mets and Yankees have to play each other, and the Braves always draw the Red Sox. That's their quote-unquote natural rival. You could make the case that this is a way of instilling more competitive balance by making the big market clubs play each other, but there are inequities. That said, the thing is never going away. It's very popular, especially in the cities where there are two teams, and there are four of those cities. And attendance routinely does go up, and you can say, well, there are reasons for that, and it's kind of a false thing, but the fact of the matter is baseball looks at the bottom line, they like it, and it's here to stay.
The Yankees, forget the pitching problems for a moment and the issues. They're having offensive problems at the moment as well. Is this just several guys slumping at the same time, or is Bobby Abreu the highest-paid bunter in the history of baseball?
Good question, Dale. We've talked about how they might be in transition as far as their pitching is concerned. Too old or too young. Same might be true in terms of their everyday team, and they don't have younger options with their everyday club for the most part. And you look at the outfield, Matsui and Damon and Abreu, these guys are, for the most part, older players, not terribly old in each case, but possibly they're in decline. And that's the thing with the Yankees. People have been waiting for them to get old for a long time. Never happened. Hasn't happened. It's been a nice 10-year, 11-year run for them. But at some point, it would not shock me if 1 year, maybe this year, they were just not able to put it together. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. You have to, if anything, believe it's going to be the other way, that they'll get it together. But they do have an older roster, and older rosters break down. They have players that are in decline, and generally speaking, are more prone to this kind of thing.
One guy who is not older on that roster is Robinson Cano. Would they be crazy enough to move him, Kenny?
I don't think so. They don't have another second baseman for starters. Some people think he could be the replacement at third if A-Rod bolts. But this is a concern. He is a younger player. He and Cabrera gave them a ton of life last year. Remember that five-game sweep in Boston? Those two guys were seemingly in the middle of everything. And they need him to get going again. He may have a little bit of big league-itis in that he's too comfortable and too happy with where he is. And he needs to realize, as all players do, that it's a grind, that you never stop working, you never stop preparing, you have to maintain your edge.
Are you a little surprised that, evidently, Smoltz is going to come back from a dislocated pinky in his last game and make his start this weekend against Daisuke Matsusaka of the Red Sox?
Yes, a little surprised. But I was reading the blog of David O'Brien, the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning, And he basically said, the guy is a freak. There's no other way to explain it. And that's pretty much how I would describe it as well. Josh Smoltz is a unique guy. He is an incredibly competitive person. He will relish pitching against Dice Day. He'll love every minute of it. And he's going to be ready.
I know he in the heat of the moment, he was mad at the base runner. When I've looked at the play six, seven times, it looked perfectly normal to me.
Yeah, he said that afterward. It was not a dirty play by Kearns or anything even approaching that. It was just one of those things.
Ken, we appreciate the time as always. We will talk to you next week and enjoy Mets-Yankees this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kenny.
All right, Ken.
Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports, our weekly baseball insider.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.